Say it again.
Robin, you ready?
I said it, didn't I?
Yeah, well, let's.
Entertain a motion to come out of recess into regular session?
Yes, submit.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second, Mr. Cole. Any question on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Correspondents, Mr. Moore.
Yes, Mr. President, there are several items. The first is, dear Sussex County Council members, my name is Geraldine Gillian, Frankfort, Delaware. I'm 72 years old. My only income is Social Security. In November 2011, I was told I had to get a new well. I had no money saved for unexpected expenses and could not borrow any more from family, friends, and institutions. From November 19th to January 5th, I and my son, who lives with me, had no water. In December, my sister gave me a phone number to call, which led me to Sussex County Community Development Service and Mr. Mike Jones. Within 2 weeks, I had a new well with no charge to me. I am so thankful to the Housing Development Office. I hope other people in the same predicament as me will find this organization that will help them as long as the organization has the funds available. Thank you for your time, Geraldine Gillen. Next, I have several letters from different groups that have been given grants. The first is the Delaware Breast Cancer Coalition, thanking for the $250. The next is the 21st Annual Beach and Bay Cottage Tour for the Friends of the South Coastal Library and for the funds that were donated for Milford Senior High, for the $500 for the Milford High School After Prom event. Next is for Maria Hammond for the event, community-wide youth event held at Grace in Georgetown. The next is from Lower Sussex NAACP and signed by Manuel R. Davis, youth advisor, for the donation given for their event for the Regional Civil Rights Training and Advocacy Institute. Then there are several from Delaware Technical and Community College. One is for the community grant to support our Kids on Campus program. The next is for the donation to support the gala program, Starry, Starry Night. And the last is, again, an additional for $1,000 for the Kids on Campus. And that is all, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council? Mr. Lawson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. The first item in the administrator's report is recognition of the Cape and Lopin High School Girls Lacrosse Team 2012 state champions, but I don't know that I see any representatives from here, so perhaps we can come back to that. We have a proclamation for them, so we'll revisit that at the appropriate time.
Did they know that it would be on the
team? They did, and they,
oh,
knew the special time, yes.
Okay, they knew. I'm sorry. Okay, thank you.
Okay. On Sunday, June 10, 2012, the City of Lewis will host a Yellow Ribbon Military Family Appreciation Day from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. to honor and thank military families whose loved ones have served or are serving in the current conflict in Iraq and Afghanistan. Interested families must register at the Lewis Chamber of Commerce online to receive a free lunch and ice cream social. Numerous activities such as the pirate ship, celebration cruise, water taxi, quest kayak, and Fort Miles tours will be free to military families, as well as museum tours, music, and clowns, all located in the Canal Front Park. There will be a welcome ceremony at 1 p.m. at the Canal Front Park for public participation. Per the number three, Delaware State Police Activity Report, per the attached report for April 2012, there were 3,441 total traffic arrests, 1,098 criminal arrests. Of those 1,098, 354 were felony, 744 were misdemeanor criminal arrests. Of the total hours on duty spent, 41% were spent on criminal investigations. And finally, as you will see from the attached engineering department fact sheet, Vincent Overlook Phase 2B reached substantial completion on May 29, 2012. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Susan Webb, bank accounts.
Thank you. I have three resolutions for your consideration today, and I would like to go through each one as we do. They are a little bit different.
Sure.
As you remember, a few weeks ago, we awarded M&T our banking services from the RFP that we did, so now we're beginning to consolidate our accounts, moved ones that were with different banks over to M&T. And just for information, we will be taking us from 68 down to 22. And with the help of our new Tyler computer program, that's a lot of efficiencies and progress. The first resolution are really just pulling over our accounts that were in other bank accounts that were currently not with M&T, reassigning account numbers to those that we are keeping open, and I can read that if you'd like.
We have it printed for you. Unless you
yes.
read the whole thing.
No, I'll just read the title.
Please.
Authorizing the payment from funds as a Sussex County Council on deposit with M&T Bank bearing the signatures of any two of Michael H. Vincent, President, Samuel R. Wilson, Jr., Vice President, or Susan M. Webb, Finance Director, and the signature may be a facsimile provided. One live signature is on check or withdrawal.
I make the motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second,
Mr. Phillips. Any question on the motion to approve the resolution? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Oh, yes, motion carried.
The second resolution is payroll. It's the same as what we've always done, using two facsimiles. It is already with M&T, but we'd like to keep all this together, and it does have a new account number, so this is just the same. I'd like to read that resolution.
Please.
Authorizing the payment from funds of the Sussex County Council on deposit with M&T Bank, bearing the facsimile signatures of any two of Michael H. Vincent, President, Samuel R. Wilson, Jr., Vice President, or Susan M. Webb, Finance Director.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second,
Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried.
This is the account, the third resolution, where we will have a little bit of change from what we've done before that the Finance Department is recommending on our operating account. The change is that we're recommending two facsimile signatures under $5,000, and then anything over $5,000, one facsimile and one live. Because of the new system and some efficiencies, I will still be able to monitor all the checks and release them. It's just that not signing so many checks anymore. The system will be printing these checks and printing all the information, so we want to take advantage of that.
Sure.
The $5,000 level is because it matches our policies and procedures for purchasing that are already in place. For instance, quotes have to, if you're $5,000 or over on a purchase, you have to have your quotes. The finance director approves all purchases over $5,000. The county administrator approves all capital purchases over $5,000. And $5,000 is our capital asset level. When an item that's purchased, if it's over $5,000, it's a capital item, and under regard for if it's not for services.
Sure.
So that is a number we'd like to work with. This is a change for us for our policies on check signing, but again, internal controls will be there on the computer, and I would still have to release the checks. I will
sure.
just be viewing them online.
Sure. That's fine.
Okay.
Do you want to read that?
Authorizing the payment from funds of the Sussex County Council on deposit with M&T Bank bearing the facsimile signatures of any two of Michael H. Vincent, President, Samuel R. Wilson, Jr., Vice President, or Susan M. Webb, Finance Director, provided check or withdrawal is less than or equal to $5,000, and bearing the signatures of any two of Michael H. Vincent, President, Samuel R. Wilson, Jr., Vice President, or Susan M. Webb, Finance Director, and a signature may be a facsimile provided one live signature is on check or withdrawal greater than $5,000.
All right.
Motion, Mrs. Motion. Deaver.
Mm-hmm.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Any question on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Moore?
Yes, Mr. President. There is an item up for possible introduction, and although I penned this proposed ordinance, I can assure you it was with the input of Mr. Izzo and Mr. Tung, and if they would like to come forward to discuss the purpose of this.
Please come forward, gentlemen.
I know what it is. All right. Basically, what Mr. Moore is going to bring before you is an ordinance to change our code, giving the county engineer a little leeway, if you will, when it comes to commercial laundromat assessments and also commercial car wash assessments.
Just those two.
Just those two. And the reason for that is there's been a large change in the technology over the years, and probably a year, better than a year ago, some questions came up, and I started researching it and found out that the technologies have changed a lot, and especially the washers use much, much less water than they did in the past. So rather than totally changing our assessment, we just wanted to get, because we have old units still out there in the field.
Right.
We wanted to give the county engineer some leeway to take manufacturer's documentation and say, yes, we can adjust the assessment based on the manufacturer specifications. I think at some point in time, as these older units go out of use, we'll probably come back and want a code change to reflect that in its entirety.
What the situation now is that the EDU calculation is fixed in the code.
Exactly.
This will give us the opportunity to look at the actual cut sheets for the machines that are going to be installed. And the fees aren't so great during the operation, but when you're looking at the actual payment of the impact fees, if you're going to start up in a laundromat, it's a big difference in the charges.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, and Mr. Rizzo, it's my understanding that way it's drafted now, it does not affect just those that are retrofitting, but also as new ones come online as well.
Right. And anything new coming forward, yes.
And what is it about car wash business that changes the...
As we started looking at this, there's been technology changes in the car wash as well. There, you know, many of them are now are recycling water.
That's what I heard, yeah.
And so we hit a situation, I believe it was in Long Neck, where we started looking at it and found out that we were out of line with what we were charging.
Is it feasible, though, maybe, Mike, to look throughout the whole code? I mean, I know that sometimes a doctor's office versus a restaurant and different things. I know everything else is still fixed, and maybe the trend should be just to be, you know, have some guidelines, but have some flexibility also available to the as long as the main guy like yourself would sign off on it.
Yeah. With the office use, it's kind of hard because there's no real way to measure it. Like with a washing machine, we can look and, you know, they can provide us a piece of technical documentation that, you know, it's going to produce so much flow. Offices, it's a little harder, but...
You do fixtures, though, right? Is that right? Or is it still...
On what now? On offices?
Well, I'm like saying on an office versus a restaurant.
A restaurant is done in a number of ways. You're looking at fixture units for one. You're also looking at the seating, that sort of thing. An office is assessed on basically square footage. Yeah, and retail space is assessed on square footage. Pretty much everything else outside of that is assessed on fixture units.
But maybe what we could do is start like a little study process and start looking at and see what national trends are going to be, because a lot of this information, nobody is uniform across the whole country, but there is a lot of information about how different counties and municipalities do it. And sometimes there is like a trend change of how things are
done. Or a better way to do it.
We certainly could take a look at
that. More equitable way.
A
few people have complained to me that they've got like an office building, got one bathroom, and the square footage could be huge, but there's still only that one bathroom. And maybe we ought to be doing fixtures on them also, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
We'll take a look at it.
Just a thought.
I guess it's come up recently that we need to be looking at EDU capacity and what is available, and maybe even take it down to certain lines so that we can better allocate EDUs. Is that something that could be considered?
What we would have to do is kind of continually update our studies on I won't say annual basis. If, for example, you're talking about all the lines that go to the South Coastal plant, we last updated the planning study in 2004, so maybe it's time to look at that again and take a look at how uses have changed in that planning area. We have a good handle on our capacities throughout all our districts, and we know the choke points where we potentially will have issues in the future. But there's also, again, a nationwide trend change. You know, we've always used 300 gallons per day per EDU as a flow, but because of the change of low flow fixtures, and especially in our area because we have such a large senior community, that our flow per EDU may not be as high. as, you know, some other areas. So, you know, if we want to, for example, start updating those planning studies, probably, you know, in the next year or so, maybe taking another look at the South Coastal Area Planning Study, because it will be 10 years old in 2014.
Yeah, probably not a bad idea.
One of my concerns is when we limit potential economic development because of sewer capacity, and in the overall, the capacity is there, or at least the money has been set aside to expand the capacity. And I'm not sure if there's anything that what you're talking about can address that, or if we need to take that from a different angle.
This is going to come up, I think,
yeah,
maybe again in about a half an hour, so maybe we can come back to that discussion then.
It's one of our businesses in Midway, isn't it, that's asking for it, yeah. New laundromat with new machines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sooner the better.
Any more questions?
I do have one question. Gary, can they retrofit? Would they be looking for refunds on previously connection fees?
Okay. No, they would not. And the business in Midway, we had already worked out an MOU with them, so they would have been able to proceed forward even with this code not being changed.
Okay. My understanding is that you charge so much per day for a car wash, regardless of how much water to use? Is that what we're saying?
Well, it's more on an annual basis or a quarterly basis.
Oh,
sometimes some districts we bill quarterly, some districts we bill annually, but it has to do on the amount of flow they contribute to the source.
But how do we know how much flow do we put out?
With the new technology.
Manufacturer specifications.
Yeah, they actually have specifications.
Yeah, meters? Do we have some kind of meter to measure the water?
No.
We don't really want to get into the business of meter reading.
So we're going to estimate, sure. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
Any more questions, Council? Thank you, gentlemen. Mr. Moore, would you read the short title?
Yes. An ordinance to amend Chapter 110 of the Code of Sussex County relating to how equivalent dwelling units, EDUs, shall be determined for certain commercial/business users.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I introduce it.
Mr. Phillips introduces it. Thank you, sir. Who's going to do the wastewater?
Susie Webb's going to do it. Hal Godwin was called to Dover to address legislation.
Okay. We have an Ordinance 38 project, Bayville Shores South Phase 2, Agreement Number 9691. The developers, Mr. Coleman Bunning from Bunning Construction Corporation, Bayville Shore Drive, Selbyville, Fenwick Island Sewer District, 9-unit townhouse condominiums, and 1 6-unit townhouse condominium. The system connection charges $75,225. Sussex County Engineering Department plan approval was received 9/22/10, and the Department of Natural Resource plan approval on November 30th, 10. The construction data, construction days 10, construction administration and construction inspection cost was $1,237.20, and proposed construction costs $8,248. And I have a motion unless
please
there's
read
questions.
Your motion.
Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 969-1, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and Bunning Construction Corporation for wastewater facilities to be constructed in Bayville Shores South Phase 2, located in the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District.
Entertain a motion from Council.
I'll make the motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions? I will take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Julie Cooper. Greenwood Library Project.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay. As you're aware, the Greenwood Library design for the new building is underway, and we're not too far away from actually bidding it out. The 90% documents are being prepared as we speak. So what we're doing now is preparing to move the library operations into a temporary location, and a long search had been made. And an acceptable site was found within the town limits of Greenwood at the intersection of 13 and 16, locally known as Hilltop. And I am here to ask for approval of the lease.
You have a motion?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Please read your motion.
I lost my page. There it is. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that Sussex County Council approve the agreement with Sparrow Homes LLC for the lease of its property in Greenwood, Delaware, Sussex County Tax Parcel 53010.13-77.00 for the temporary operation of the Greenwood Library as part of Sussex County Project 0705 Greenwood Library.
Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole. Mm-hmm. Any questions on the motion?
I was just wondering, they have what kind of service they have for their computers out there at the leased property?
They'll have exactly what they have at the mm-hmm. existing library.
Is it fiber
same
optic?
Same quality.
Fiber optic, or is it? Is it fiber
wireless.
Optic? It's wireless. Okay.
Right.
All right. Good. Good.
Any more questions?
Great.
I will take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
So yes, motion carried. Thank you, ma'am. And right. Next.
By the way, Julie, while you're up here, I want to congratulate you on your good design, your artistic work you did out here on the front step. Now I can get in without falling down.
I'm glad you like it, because that's my next item.
The next
item
thing on the list, that's right. You ought to roll down.
In your packet, I did put a photograph of this nice new entrance that was recently completed, and I am here today to ask for approval of the substantial completion and balancing change order, return of retainage for the project. I did put some information into your packets if anybody has any questions.
Any questions?
Look nice. Looks nice.
You have a motion?
Yes, I do.
I thought I was going to wash it.
Excuse me?
I thought I was in Washington.
Yeah.
This is a long one to spit out. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that Sussex County Council grant substantial completion effective May 18, 2012 to John Davidson Masonry Incorporated of Harbison, Delaware for Sussex County Project 1107 Administration Building Front Entrance Replacement, and further that balancing change order number one be approved in the amount of $10,260. Thereby increasing the contract amount from $54,613.40 to $64,873.40, and that final payment be made and any held retainage be released in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contract documents.
Entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Aye.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Any question on the motion? How come such a large change order?
We had originally intended to reuse the handrails.
Yeah.
And then during the course of construction, we had checked with our building code, and we met ADA with the existing rails, and we also met Sussex County code. But during the course of construction, the fire marshal indicated that our handrails no longer met the fire code, Delaware fire code, and to make the changes necessary, it required rebuilding the rails completely.
Oh.
So that was the largest portion of the change order.
That's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any more questions?
But it still comes in lower than
we revised our
than any other
our
bid.
Books. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Lank.
I'm Roy Marshall.
Good afternoon. We have a request to withdraw conditional use number 1902, which was filed on behalf of Dorothy Garvey. Normally, if they had withdrawn it prior to public hearing, we would have accepted it without going to public hearing. But since the public hearings were held, we have to. Was found a few years ago that we need to go before council and have to have a motion and a second and a vote to allow for the withdrawal.
Okay.
So we have The council held a public hearing, or the commission held a public hearing on June 23rd of 2011, rendered its decision on July 28th of 2011, and council held a public hearing on July 19th of 2011. So the purpose of this is to accept or withdraw. And as I said, it would take a motion and a second.
You have a motion?
No, it's just a standard to accept or withdraw.
Okay.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Phillips, to allow
conditional use number
1902.
1902.
To be withdrawn. Any questions on the motion?
I won't be voting because you don't have it up with a conflict or interest there.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I will, yes, motion carried. Thank you, sir. And now we are at 1:30. It is the time of our advertised public hearings, so we'll move on the agenda to public hearings. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. This is the time and place for the council to hold public hearings on zoning applications. And because they are legislative hearings, council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend a comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Each application will be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from P&Z hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record, along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing and any recommendations made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you are required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lank, and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. And the first hearing today is conditional use 1929 on behalf of Everett Dennis and David Harbin. Mr. Lang?
Yes, thank you. This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a farm tractor and auto repair to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 20,437 square feet, more or less, lying southeast of Route 387, also known as Hudson Road, 0.6 mile north of Route 54, and referred to more specifically as Tax Map ID 533, Map 17, Parcel 179, and it is a part of a larger tract. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on May 10th of 2012. We received and reviewed comments from DLDOT, the Department of Transportation, from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We received one letter in opposition from Dennis and Janice Marvel. Everett Dennis and David Harbin were present and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. And at the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Ross stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1929 for Everett Dennis and David Harbin for a farm tractor and auto repair shop based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the proposed conditional use will have no significant impact on traffic. Two, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or community. Three, the applicant has stated that in addition to automotive repairs, he performs welding and repair work on farm equipment, which is a benefit to area agriculture. Four, the use is conveniently located for area farmers and will reduce the distance they will need to haul their tractors and equipment on area roadways for service. And five, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. A, the final site plan shall show all required parking and equipment storage areas. B, there shall not be any outside storage of junk or permanently inoperable vehicles, automobile parts, farm equipment, tires, or other materials used to repair cars or agricultural equipment. C, no vehicles for sale will be displayed on the premise. D, all repair work shall be performed inside the three-bay garage shop building. The only repair work shall be for automobiles, trucks, and farm equipment. E, the shop will only be operated between the hours of 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8 a.m. until noon on Saturday. F, there may only be one lighted sign on the property advertising the business, and it shall not exceed 32 square feet in size on either side. G, any security lights shall only be installed on the buildings and shall be screened so that they do not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. H, the location for a possible dumpster shall be shown on the final site plan, and it shall be screened from view of neighboring properties. And finally, I, the site plan shall be subject to the approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion by Mr. Ross, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 4-0. For the benefit of the record, I did receive one additional comment. It's in the form of a memorandum. It was received on May 11th of 2012, and is from the Sussex Conservation District. And in their comments, they advise us that there are four soil types on this property, that the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during any construction and to maintain vegetation after completion of any construction, that there are no storm flood hazard areas affected, that it is not likely that any off-site drainage improvements would be required, and that it is possible that on-site drainage improvements could be required, that there is a tax ditch on the property and could be subject to minimal to no effect. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Are there any questions from council?
Well, I guess I'll wait and see if we have opposition. I'd like to hear what they had to say. If they don't, there's no one here.
If not, are the applicants here? Would you come forward, please? And you need to give us your full name and address.
Good afternoon, Council. My name is David Harbin, and with me to my right is Everett Dennis. And we are at 36925 Hudson Road, Selbyville, Delaware.
My name is Everett Dennis, 36930 Hudson Road, Selbyville, Delaware.
Okay. If you can explain to us what you're planning to do there and why you feel the council should grant your request.
Well, I have quite a few people that are very interested in the shop being there. There isn't really one out in that particular area. There is one down at the corner of 54 that just opened recently. But I've gotten quite a clientele already and people that want to have work performed by me. And then I've had several tractors, farm tractors and things that people have broke down in the fields close by us, and like Mr. Lang was saying, they didn't have to travel nowhere near as far back to their shop for me to repair it. The only stipulation that I was thinking about is sometimes some of the farm tractors, the equipment is too big to get inside of the building. Mm-hmm. And if these guys, you know, I do the best I can to keep everything inside. There is no junked vehicles. There will not be junked vehicles. I'm a one-man show, so I try to keep everything neat, quiet. That's the way I prefer to do it.
Okay. Did you want to say something too, sir?
No, I'm just the owner of your property, and What he said, I'll make sure there's no junk vehicles around because I'll keep my property A1 shape. But if there's anything on agriculture or poultry, I can address that.
Okay. Any questions from council?
No, I was just wondering what the opposition was, so I guess I'll wait and see.
They're proposing maybe a change. So, Everett, his one comment about, which is a legitimate issue, I guess, if it gets approved, about the large farm equipment not being able to get in the garage. So could as we go through this, could we possibly look at maybe some wording that would change D, where it says all repair work shall be performed inside a three-bay garage shop building, except for maybe large agricultural equipment, farm equipment.
Right, that's what I mean by it. If there's a large disc machine or something that's broken.
Okay, I'm letting him. He's got more education than the rest of us, and he's better with words.
Yeah.
He's a lawyer. So that's okay. If we could maybe have that as something we may amend in the future, but at least right. As we discuss it from here on out, we might reflect on that.
That'd be right.
A little bit.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Okay. Any other
suggestion?
Any other questions from council? If not, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone here today that would like to speak in favor? Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone here in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, this...
I got one last question, Mr. President.
Sure.
I'm sorry. Is there... This is a kind of an odd-shaped parcel. Are we identifying a certain area, Lawrence, that's the conditional use will be applied to, or is it to the whole site?
Specific survey for the conditional use. It's not a conveyance. It doesn't meet the criteria to be a conveyance to sell it outright. So it would have to remain as a part of the larger tract, but it's described or bounded where that work with that auto and tractor repair will take place.
And that's in on this?
As drawn.
As drawn. So it's not the whole big parcel. We're just looking at that.
It was confined to just that area.
Okay. That's all my only question. Good. Thank you.
Yes. And further, if you see the on the other side, it's that darkened portion that is for the conditional use.
All right.
Okay, Mr. President, it appears that there's no one here except the applicants in favor or in opposition. At this point, the public hearing is closed on the matter, and the council can then act on if they would like to keep record open or if they want to act on it now.
I wouldn't mind amending.
Yeah.
All right, we can close the public hearing.
Yes, close the public hearing.
If there's a motion to close public comment.
Close it.
I'll make that motion.
Second, Mr. Cole, to close public comment. We'll take that vote. Mr. Deaver? Mm-hmm. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Mr. Moore, if you'd read the short title, then we'll see what they want to do. You can have a seat. You can have a seat.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Amend it now or later?
Well, let's read the thing so you can amend it. I guess that's an action.
Let me find the sheet. It is an ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a farm tractor and auto repair to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 20,437 square feet, comma, more or less. That's tax map 5-33-17, parcel 179, part of. And that would be subject to conditions which may be amended.
All right, Mr. President, yes, I'd like to amend condition under 5D. And Mr. Moore, if you have some wording there that we could amend that with to permit outside work on large agricultural equipment.
Yeah, I do have one question. Would you want to limit the amount of large equipment that could be there at any one time?
I can't imagine there's going to be a lot of large agricultural equipment probably any one time, but no.
Okay, this isn't a literary work here, but it's all repair work shall be performed inside the three-bay garage/shop building. The only repair work shall be for automobiles, trucks, and farm equipment. And all work shall be done completed inside the shop building except for large equipment and then parenthesis farm, too large to fit into the three-bay garage.
Farm-related, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
That's all for agriculture land around anyway.
So. Oh, I know that, but I'm just to mm-hmm. make sure that we have just farm-related.
You're not getting into diesel trucks, for example.
Right.
So he's not going to get too many trucks at a 10-foot door.
We'll entertain a motion to amend condition 5D as read by Mr. Moore.
I'll make a motion.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any question on that motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Now we can move on to the...
Yes. And I've read the short title, and any motion should be, as short titles read, as amended by the motion on for item D.
Entertain a motion from council.
I make a motion we adopt the ordinance CU with the amended conditions.
I have a motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Phillips, to adopt the ordinance as presented with the amended condition 5D. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yeah, I vote yes, and I go along with the reasons given by planning and zoning and the conditions as amended by county council, and there is definitely a need for this kind of service in the area.
Cole.
I'll vote yes, same reason.
Phillips?
Vote yes, it goes well with this surrounding area. There's a need, as Ms. Deaver said.
Wilson.
I support planning and zoning.
Also, with recommendation of planning and zoning, and it does certainly make sense for the area, certainly agriculture, based on that and the conditions stipulated, I will vote yes also. Motion carried.
Yep. Okay, the next application is conditional use number 1930, application of Penn Central LLC.
Yes, this application is to consider the conditional use of land in a B1 neighborhood business district for a multifamily dwelling structure, proposing three units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 8,030 square feet, more or less, lying at the southeast corner of Pennsylvania Avenue, also known as Route 51, and Bennett Road, and being Lot 3, Block 1 of Sussex Shores. It also references tax map ID 134, map 1315, parcel 159. For the benefit of council, if I may step forward, I'd like to pass out some site plans and additional information that were provided by the applicant.
Penn Central.
And while he's passing that out, I would like for the record indicate that Mr. Cole has left the room. He is recusing himself from this matter, and it indicated that he does have a conflict.
Also, if I may, I have received a letter of more explanation from the County Engineering Department. Again, for the record, the public hearing on this application was held on May 10th of 2012. We did, in the process of the public hearing, receive comments from the Department of Transportation, Sussex County Engineering Department, both being detailed in the minutes of my report, or my report on the minutes of the commission's action. Carol Schwartz was also present, Schultz was also present on behalf of Penn Central LLC and gave testimony. Robert Funk, an owner of a unit in Mallard Landing, the adjacent multifamily dwelling structure, was present and gave testimony, not really in opposition. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application, and the commission did, at the conclusion of the public hearing, defer for further consideration and has not yet made a motion on this application. Again, I received, and I'll pass these out if you would. I could reproduce these since they're in color. I passed down copies of some photographs that were just received today from the applicant showing some adjacent improvements and multifamily uses and commercial uses in the immediate area. I also received a memorandum on this application on May 11th from the Sussex Conservation District. On this site, there are two soil types. The applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation after completion of construction. There are no storm flood hazard areas affected, no tax ditches affected. It is not likely that they will be required any off-site drainage improvements, and that it is possible that there will be some necessity for on-site drainage improvements. I also received, just prior to the public hearing, a fax letter from Crowley Associates Realty Incorporated from Tom Crowley. I'm writing in support of Ms. Schultz's conditional use application. I'm the owner of the adjacent property and support her proposal for three townhomes on that lot. It would be in keeping with the character of the neighborhood. She is not asking for any greater density than the townhomes immediately adjacent to hers and references Mallard Landings and Seaview. And further, as I know Ms. Schultz personally, I know that she will build a quality product and her townhomes should enhance the corner of Bennett and Pennsylvania. And it is my recommendation that her application be granted. As passed out, you do have now copies of a packet of information which shows a site plan in the form of a sketch, a existing condition site plan showing an existing building with paved parking, a description, short description of the intent of the application, a exhibit showing the average setback along Pennsylvania Avenue and Route 1 within several blocks of Sussex Shores, a copy of the layout of Sussex Shores showing uses and parcel numbers, and some photographs. Sorry about the quality, but they are just black and white Xerox copies. Mm-hmm. And then finally, a rendering of the proposed multifamily structure to be built on the premise.
You gave us some photos, Mr. Lang. Now, they're not captioned, so I don't know what they're trying to show. We see townhomes, we see Realty, Bethany Realty. I don't know what's the objective there.
The first photograph is of Bethany Resort Furnishings. It's a furniture store.
Okay, that's furniture, right. Mm-hmm.
And the next one is a multifamily project across Pennsylvania Avenue from mm-hmm. the site. And then a view from Route 1 looking at the corner of the site, and showed the Crowley sign, mm-hmm. the red sign that's in front of the Crowley property, which is next door, mm-hmm. and a multifamily project next door, and then a multifamily on Pennsylvania Avenue.
So it's mixed?
It's mm-hmm. mixed use.
Yes.
Okay. The last thing we passed out was a copy of a letter we just received on June 4th. It's addressed to Mr. Lawson, and it's from Mike Izzo, County Engineer. And it gives a more description of the South Coast Area Planning Study and as it relates to this application and some attachments. And Mr. Izzo is present, I believe, and may have some comments if you ask for his participation in this process.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's all I have unless you have questions. And again, the commission did defer action and they're still considering this application.
Yeah, I'd like to know about the EDUs.
And that's all I have.
Mr. Izzo, do you?
Do you think that possibly we get into that as we start the public hearing and then let mm-hmm. that be part of it?
Okay.
Okay. Is the any questions of Mr. Lang? If not, is the applicant or applicant's representative here today? Yes, would you come forward and give us your name and address, please?
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Carol Schultz. My address is 6206 Wagner Lane, Bethesda, Maryland. 20816, and I represent Penn Central LLC. Okay. I filed this application a few months ago for a conditional use permit required under B1 for multifamily dwelling. If, in fact, the conditional use permit is granted, in order to have three townhomes, I would need a variance. That would be step two in the process. I can only guess as to, I know that Sussex Shores has hired an attorney who will be opposing my motion, and so I know that I do not have a rebuttal time, so I will just guess as to what their arguments will be. One of them I understand would be beach density. I find that highly irregular since it's a private beach that is not very dense, and I don't think by adding two townhomes versus three would increase the density of a private beach. The townhomes behind me, there's two sets of six, four lots. There's 12 townhomes behind me on the exact same square footage that my lot has. There's another set right on the ocean with six on double what I have. You know, I'm only asking for the exact density of the homes that were before me. I'm not asking for any more or any less. I think that building the townhomes would be in keeping in character with the neighborhood. There would be no adverse impact on the neighborhood. It would be probably less traffic than a business. I know I went to a meeting with the Sussex Shores, I don't know what they called a board, and they said they were worried about setting a precedent because there would be all these other townhomes that would be built on all these other lots that were available. I inquired how many more lots were available, and I think, I don't want to be quoted, it would be like 2 to 4 lots possible in the entire subdivision of Sussex Shore. So I really don't think that I'm setting a precedent by asking for the exact same use as my neighbors. In fact, I think it is keeping with the precedent of the neighborhood. And I also know that not all Sussex Shores residents oppose this applicant, even though the board has hired an attorney to oppose it. For example, Mr. Crowley sent a letter, and some other people told me that they were in favor of it, but I guess their letters, they never mailed them or whatever, so that doesn't matter. And I don't have anything else. If you have questions of me, I'd be more than happy to ask.
I need to, if you could clarify something I didn't quite get. You said you were asking for the density of the area, the homes before it was B1. Is that what you said?
No, I think it's always been B1. They changed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I spoke to somebody on, explained to me that they changed the density per acre, and I think it was in 1995, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But Mallard Landing has 3 units per lot area, the same as mine.
Oh, that's the
right
change
behind me.
You're referring
to. And Seaview
to.
Has 3 as well. So does the one on the ocean. I don't know the name of that. And so does, there's another one across the street called Beach Pebble Square. My lot was not subdivided. It was not made townhouses at that time. It was a doctor's office, and I think it was a market before that.
Mm-hmm.
So if the conditional use permit is granted, my next step would be to ask for a variance of the square footage required for an EDU, because right now it's 3,630 per EDU, which would only be 2. So I'd have to get a variance to go with 3, and I would ask for a variance on the grounds that it would be keeping in precedent with the neighborhood. Does that make sense?
Just to clarify, the ordinance today allows for 12 units to the acre with an application, which comes out to 3,630 square foot per unit. Her lot is just exceeding 8,000 square feet, so she would qualify for 2 units if she did get multifamily use approval.
Mm-hmm.
Since she's asking for 3 and you grant the approval, she has to go to the Board of Adjustment to get a variance in the square footage requirement per unit.
So if you just grant it, I can get 2 without going for a variance. If you grant it and I want 3, I have to go for a variance.
Right.
Is that correct?
Right. Okay. Here's a copy of the letter.
I never got engineering that. Question.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does council have any questions of the applicant? Any questions? Is there anyone else here in attendance today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone in favor? Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition? And then, Ms. Deaver, after this, we take your question to the engineering.
Absolutely. Good afternoon, Mr. President and council members. I am the pink elephant in the parlor. My name is Robert Witzel, and I represent Sussex Shores Beach Association, the governing body of Sussex Shores community. And if I may take just a moment, I have a outline letter of my presentation.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
My clients have met recently and unanimously authorized me to come today to not oppose the application for two multifamily units, but to zealously oppose the application for three for reasons that the math just does not add up. Technically, the application is incomplete because it does not provide a proper site plan in accordance with your code for a conditional use application. The sketch is doesn't show any footprint, it shows no boundaries, it's not upon a survey. Quite frankly, in looking at that survey in preparation for today, in the survey and the sketch that was submitted with it, I could not tell how three units could possibly be built on that one lot without, I think, three variances, not just one. Mrs. Schultz was correct in that the area of the lot is 8,030 square feet. The maximum area for a two-unit townhouse in the B1 district is 7,260 square feet, leaving a deficiency of 2,860 square feet of land for which the applicant would have to go to the Board of Adjustment for a variance. Again, two units are permitted. There would be no need for a variance to go to the Board of Adjustment. I think, based upon our review of a similar site plan for two units, that there would also not be a need for a variance for setbacks. The second variance that the application most likely would need and is not revealed because there hasn't been a proper site plan submitted to you is to place three units on this one parcel would most likely require a variance from both side and most likely the rear yard setback area to place three units on it. Our calculations are that two units could be placed on it without any setback area variances required. And finally, the third variance, which I'm not sure the applicant is aware of or not, would be from the three parking space per unit requirement of the code that you've imposed in the past several years. That would require 9 parking units either underneath or on the side of the units. I can only rely upon my experience and a prior application, which I promoted, which I'll talk about in just a minute, for two units. It seems to me that all three of those variances would be required. As you know, an applicant's desire to maximize development profit from a lot is not a good reason to grant a Board of Adjustment application. I can't think of any other reason. There was not a good reason stated today other than it's in compliance, it's in character with the surrounding neighborhood for the granting of a variance just because of the applicant's desire to maximize development on that lot. I will be repeating myself several times. We are not opposed to two units for a conditional use approval on this 8,030 square foot lot. Mrs. Schultz did not, and perhaps she's not aware of the application, but just recently in 2010 on the lot directly to the north, I promoted the application. It was an application by John and Lori Lucart. It was JLL LLC. It was for a similar sized lot. In fact, it was just a little bit smaller, 8,140 square feet. The Lucart's lot was just a little bit larger than Penn Central's lot. And that Lucart application was for a multifamily dwelling unit conditional use. We submitted plans, site plans, surveys, recommendations from the neighbors, recommendation from Sussex Shores Beach Association, and that application was unanimously approved by you and the recommendation from the Planning Commission. Mrs. Schultz's reference to the other townhouse units is to the six-unit Mallard Landing condominium and the Bethany Seaview condominium, which were just south of this subject site. They are on substantially larger lots. The math is difficult to figure out per unit. They were done many, many years ago. And I submit to you that the density of those two condominium units would be inappropriate. It's inappropriate density for today's considerations. I believe that it was a generous application back then, but they are on substantially larger lots than this lot. The Association Board of Directors did not, because it was an off-season application before the Planning Commission, they simply did not get notice. We're not complaining about notice. We just didn't get notice in time to come before the Planning Commission with this opposition to the three-unit and in support of the two-unit application. I'm not sure whether they were on the list to get a letter, but because they're an association, they're not listed as a property owner right next door. They would have either retained me to come to that Planning Commission meeting or send a letter to you registering their opposition, send a letter to the commission. The Sussex County Engineering Department submitted a letter to you on dated May 7, 2012. My review of that application indicates that the engineering department recommends against approving this project at three units for the reasons that it exceeds the design assumptions and the capacity allocations for the North Bethany Sanitary Sewer District. There are two gentlemen, Mr. Davis, who wrote that report, and your county engineer standing behind me. I don't mean in any way to put words in their mouth, but that's the report that came to you earlier. It may well be that two units would also exceed that allocation, but I think it could be presumed that two units would cause a substantially less negative impact on the sewer system and the need to provide any future sewer upgrades than the three units which are being proposed. Finally, I make reference to your Sussex County Comprehensive Plan and the update. And in the future land use section, that plan recommends that you should develop, you should direct density to areas that have community services and to concentrate new development proximate to an incorporated municipality where public sewer and water exists and in character and similar in density to surrounding development. We believe, my clients believe, the board believes that although this is in an area proximate to the municipality, we have concerns, as do your engineers, about the public sewer, and this is not in character and similar in density to the surrounding neighborhood. Most of the area directly behind this unit is single-family density, single-family residential units almost uniformly throughout Sussex Shores, and your recent decisions in the past indicate that a two-unit townhouse multifamily structure would be much more appropriate and in character with the surrounding community. I thank you for your attention. I am pleased to answer any questions you might have about my client's point of view.
So if I understand you, you did not come before planning and zoning.
No, we did not.
The Homeowner Association did not. They weren't aware of it.
The planning and zoning was not aware of our opposition.
But they're on record now as being opposed to the three units.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, gotcha.
And we are in favor of two.
Two.
We believe mm-hmm. that two would be a much more appropriate use than the commercial use. I might add just one comment. It's a respectful comment. It's just an observation that Mr. Crowley, who is the immediate neighbor, is a realtor. I would presume that he might have some speculative interest in having a listing to sell two or three of these units in the future. I haven't spoken with him. I'm not sure that's his goal, but I think there might be some bias that you could imply into that letter of support. Thank you.
Do you have anything else, Mr. Witzel?
No, sir. Thank you, Mr. Moore.
Is there anyone else that is here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone else? I know, Ms. Deaver, you had indicated you had some question concerning engineering. And then
I see
after
his
that,
letter, and I would like to know some more about it and hear from Mike about it. Mr. Izzo about this.
Mr. Izzo?
Good afternoon. I don't know if you want to ask me a specific question for me to respond to.
Well, I just
or
want
if
to
you
know, can we, there's vacant land there. It would have to be served. And I don't know how you figure, you know, with the EDUs, how this was for a one office. It was a doctor's office or some kind of office. Just one, I guess, one bathroom probably.
Here's how we got to this point. 2004, we began working on a South Coastal Area Planning Study. In other words, we were laying out the service areas that would be served by the South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility that has the ocean outfall. So that outfall is kind of fixed. So what we wanted to do is determine the ultimate extent that that wastewater treatment plant could serve. So during the middle of that study, we came into County Council and we presented density assumptions that could be used to determine, for example, the size of lines that would be put in the ground for future service, and also gave us some ideas about how to analyze our existing lines to determine whether they would need to be upgraded in the future. And some of the basics for those assumptions were, for example, most of the South Coastal planning area is AR1. And we made the density assumption of 4 EDUs per acre. For commercial existing C1, 12 EDUs per acre. And for B1, which this property happens to be, 6.67 EDUs per acre. So the performance of that study mm-hmm. was all based upon the either existing zoning or what would be allowed by the land use plan at the time. So we performed the study and completed it, and since then, that's what we've been using to give our reports to whether it's the Planning and Zoning Commission or to County Council in this case. Now, I think maybe we perhaps got a little far afield in some of our comments here in that I think probably our job may be just to perform or provide black and white information. Is there capacity in the system? Is there not capacity in the system? How much it exceeds the capacity of the system, and leave it at that. I think in this case we had a recommendation of not approving this application, and I'm not so sure that we're in a position where we need to be making those subjective statements. So as far as this particular application, the existing land is zoned B1. So in our report, we allocated the 6.67 EDUs per acre. The way that this proposal shakes out, 3 EDUs on 8,000 square feet turns out to be about 16.3 EDUs per acre. Now, if you're looking at a 100-acre parcel, that's a big difference. On a small parcel, you're talking about, again, back to this 2 EDU versus 3 EDU basis. And what our comments probably should have been is that we allocated 2 EDUs to this parcel, and the proposal is for 3 EDUs, which exceeds our projections that were in the South Coastal Area Planning Study. And we probably should have left it at that.
So you did plan for 2.
We planned for two
units
for this 8,000 right. square feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. And how could we resolve that? Can we? Can you upgrade? You really can't. You're telling me
well,
the where it's ending up is a fixed amount. You know that.
What I'm going to tell you is that 2 or 3 probably is not a significant number.
No. Okay.
We put up a map here, and I can just give you some quick background if you can
see this. The existing parcel is right around here on Pennsylvania Avenue. We do have one large 24-inch line that is potentially over capacity at build-out. If it builds out in accordance with the land use plan, that line would be 94% full. It can handle about, let me just give you the numbers, 5,200 EDUs, and in 2003, there were about 4,300 EDUs. So if we build it out, according to all the densities that are allowed in the land use plan, we're going to be about 94% full.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is still acceptable?
It's acceptable, but in some ways it's a little bit scary, too, in that if we did have some sort of blockage, mm-hmm. we, you know, there would be not enough time for us to respond and keep either sewage out of people's basements or on the ground somewhere. But in effect, by rule, Mr. Phillips, it's acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Keep saying if it builds out almost as if you have an inkling that it won't build out completely.
I don't know one way or another. We're pretty far along, 4,300 EDUs, so there's not a lot of vacant land that could go into that line. It's more redevelopment, I think, at this point, and then there are obviously some vacant lots.
Oh, I thought there was some vacant land.
It right could next be. I haven't investigated it to that detail.
Excuse me, Mr. Phillips.
Now, the district in and of itself is solvent, and it's got savings.
Right.
Should we need more capacity? There's no reason why we couldn't improve the system.
I think that could be done, although, you know, if you think about the impact to the local businesses for us to go in and dig up that line, it would be a long construction period, 6 to 9 months to replace that line. So there would be some economic detriment to the area during that construction period, much like the residents felt on 54 this winter. But it could be done. I was toying with the idea of whether I could pump North Bethany around it. That's a possibility. North Bethany actually pumps down into that line, and whether I could extend the force main around, completely around this section of line all the way to our Tingle Road pump station. Tingle Road is right at the end of that purple line, and it serves all of Bethany, North Bethany, and South Bethany. It's one of our bigger pump stations. Mm-hmm.
Any more questions, Ms. Rizzo? Mm-hmm.
But you have no problem with two units, that's for sure.
I have no problem with two units.
Or three.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
With that additional report, is it appropriate to allow the public to respond?
Could do if you wanted.
Leave it open. When did that come in, Steve?
Mr. Lank, I had a question.
Sure.
During the discussion when the applicant was up here, and I believe it was stated that as the application is written, at this point, she would be entitled to the two units. In order to get any more than the two units, there would have to be a variance.
That's correct.
That's correct.
The parcel exceeds the minimum requirement for two units, therefore she would not have to go to the Board of Adjustment for a variance on density, depending on the building layout and parking layout and that type of thing, and whether there may be other variances, but right now she wouldn't need a variance for two.
Would not
would need
a
variance for three.
Would not need a variance for two.
No. Okay. Right. You need the conditional use approval for two.
Right, I understand. Okay.
You would not need a variance for two.
And, of course, the issues that were discussed by the opposition concerning the variance all would go to the Board of Adjustment if there was, in fact, such a hearing.
That's correct.
That's not for us at this point.
The council and at similar application in the past, you're giving consideration of whether this site is suitable for multifamily use.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Board of Adjustment then makes the determination of the density if it exceeds the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. I have no further questions. And at this point, if the public hearing is over, and we can close the public hearing, and with council's it's the council's pleasure, you can close the public record at this point. As you know, since planning and zoning did defer on this matter, you must do likewise.
Mm-hmm. We will close the public hearing. Entertain a motion to close public record.
Yeah, I'll move that for that.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second. Mr. Phillips, any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips, Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Entertain a motion to defer.
I'll make a motion.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second. Mr. Phillips, to defer to await the findings of planning and zoning. Any questions on that motion?
No.
Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you. Thank you. We will now go back to our agenda to grant requests, Mrs. Webb.
Thank you. The first one today, Unite Sussex.
Can
I get Cole back in? Oh, that's a good
idea. Oh, yeah, Mr. Cole. Let's, yeah, we get George back in for a second. Just give us a second.
Oh, how much are you going to take from George's account?
Yeah, before he gets back in here.
Okay. I'll take $1,000 out.
All right.
I'll second.
All right, there we are.
And this was put on by Councilman Phillips, is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Knight Sussex for U.S. Camp.
Did they
tell George that,
did
right?
They request a specific amount?
No, they did not. However, they are having a camp in the summer.
It's not Barnes, is it? Camp Barnes?
No, no.
We just approved $10,000 of your account.
It's a countywide organization, but it is coming out of my district. If it would please the council, I'd like to give them a couple $1,000, $1,000 for mine, $250 from each other council member.
What are we giving this for? Could
you read the letter, Ms. Webb?
Yes. They have a U.S. Camp 2012, and the camp is does support kids from all over the county, so to speak. They don't really give a lot of detail. They did have one last year. They do have letters from the Food Bank of Delaware, the Town of Frankfort, and the Indian River School District on how successful the camp is, and their outreach program is to the at-risk children in the area. They reach 75 to 100 children daily, 5 days a week for 7 weeks. So that's a big chunk of the summer that they keep them busy and out of trouble.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. So we have a motion.
I move that we give $1,000 from my account, $250 from each other council member's account.
For a total of $2,000.
$2,000.
All right. Motion second, Mrs. Deaver. Any question on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried.
Sussex County Return Day.
For a pole shed or something. Is it Mr. Wilson's?
Yeah.
For the, where they prepare the meat and the sandwiches, the oxen.
Right. Are they cooking one of your cows?
I may have to talk to them about that.
Well, you better then get a building for them.
What, how much do they ask for?
They're requesting $1,200.
That's what I recommend, give us $1,200.
Your account.
I'll give $200 of that 12, so $1,000 for Mr. Wilson.
$1,000, Mr. Wilson, $200, Mr. Phillips.
They're going to barbecue a watermelon, I guess.
Question on the motion.
You want to give $100, George?
Nope. No. I'm just going to go there and eat.
Mm-mm.
We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
The Delaware Community Appreciation Group.
What do we appreciate?
This
that?
Is Mr.
This
Wilson as well.
Mr. Wilson. Okay.
This is the veterans, the Bless Our Troops, where they go to the veterans' homes and they have, like, do Father's Day specials.
Milford?
Yes. Milford, Delaware.
$1,000. Father's Day of the Troops.
Second.
I have a motion and second to grant $1,000 from Mr. Wilson's account. Any questions on the motion? Vote, Mr. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
The March of Dimes Foundation for the Farmer and the Chef Event South. Mr. Phillips?
That came into mind. That is a countywide event. If There's no objection. We'll give $100 from each account.
Wait, Millsboro Downtown Partnership.
Oh, I thought you said No, we're at Marchadon's
Foundation. Oh, Marchadon. I'm sorry. I got up and lost track.
We have a motion, Mr. Phillips, to grant $500, $100 from each council member to the Marchadon's Foundation.
But it's going to happen in Millsboro, isn't that?
I don't know where it happens.
Yeah.
Is it countywide or just...
The event is going to happen in Millsboro at the Cordry Center, but it is Sussex County Chefs.
That's my district.
Right. The March of Dimes
and
does
Sussex
things
Farmers.
All over the county in different
They're
communities.
They're just bringing them in that
event. This is just one event, so I don't think it's a countywide event. I would consider it more of a local event sponsored by the March of Dimes. I'd rather save my money for a March of Dimes event at the beach.
Countywide is restaurants. Throughout the county.
Farmers and restaurants.
There are farmers down that beach.
There's restaurants down there.
Mr. Wilson, second my motion.
Cordry.
We have a motion and a second to grant $500, $100 from each council Matic account.
Railroaded again.
Any questions on that motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
You'll pay, Sam Wilson. Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
The Cordry Center is in my district.
You'll pay for this, Sam Wilson.
Millsboro Downtown Partnership.
That one's mine, and I will get $500 from my account.
$500, Mr. Wilson's, Mr. Phillips' account.
I can't believe he's not asking the rest of us for money.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
To grant $500, Mr. Phillips' account, the Millsboro Downtown Partnership for Farmers Market. Mr. Phillips, your second.
Second.
Is $500. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
How about yes? Motion carried.
Cape Henlopen High School.
And what did we give them last year?
$500.
That's what I thought.
Second.
Do it again.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Cole, to grant $500, Mrs. Deaver's account for Cape Henlopen graduation party expenses. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
How about yes? Motion carried. Thank you, Mrs. Webb.
Thank you.
Proposing an ordinance introduction, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. There are three. The first one is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a workshop for a family electrical business and butcher shop to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek Hundred, Sussex County, containing 2.347 acres, more or less. That's tax map ID number 1-30-6-4502, filed on behalf of John Herhold and his district number 2.
Number 2?
Yes.
Oh, that's yours.
I'm going to introduce it.
Mr. Wilson introduces it.
Did you say electronics and butcher?
Not electronics, electrical business and butcher.
Electrical business and butcher shop.
Yes.
Okay.
Using electric knives to cut the...
Somebody's got to butcher that bull for this octopus we're having.
Going to electrocute them. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a food vendor to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 1.0 acres, more or less, tax map ID number 1-34-11-3, filed on behalf of Chester Townsend the 4th and his District 4.
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Phillips introduces it.
And the last is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR General Residential District for a bakery for baking dog treats to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 5.40 acres, more or less, tax map ID 2-34-21-213, filed on behalf of Lisa M. St. Clair and its District 3.
I'll introduce it.
Mrs. Deaver introduces it.
That is all, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. And it's a business brought before council, Mr. Guy. He's on the way forward, so we must have something. Thank you, sir. Mr. Dan Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. Earlier you had a something to do with the rent for the library. I want to know why the price of the rent was not brought forward to the public so we know how much money you're spending for the rent. That's one item. The second item is, you guys think it's smart sitting up here and lean back so nobody can hear you? That's not being smart. That's being downright stupid. I'd want you guys to lean forward and speak into that mic like you're supposed to. Now, Cole, he's got a big enough mouth that he doesn't have to lean forward. Now, she needs to start leaning forward. She was leaning back to the wall today and couldn't understand her, and I'm getting tired of it. And if you don't want me to come up here and rip you apart, then start talking into that microphone, because I've got news for you. One of these days, you're going to have a problem, and it's going to cause a lawsuit, and I'm going to be helping it. Thank you.
We'll entertain a motion to go to executive session for personnel pending tunnel litigation and land acquisition.
And, Mr. President, I would suggest once again, because of the length of the period we'll be having, that we have the executive session in here and have the public leave when and close the room as we did the last executive session.
Sure.
I was wondering, I know that you asked for that motion, but I see this report from our Economic Development Department. Could we have a report from her personally on her work at some point in the future? There's a number of interesting issues that she's working on that I think we need to know about.
Sure, I can request that.
Okay. Like yes. To see that. Thank you.
Entertain a motion?
Yes, I'll make the motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second, Mr. Wilson, for executive session. Any question on a motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Yes.
We would ask everyone who is not involved in our executive session to please leave.